You might remember this story about somebody that proposed a resolution to the United Nations. And the resolution to the United Nations was to change all the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, the New Testament, the Vedas, the Quran, take all the sexist verses out of those scriptures, take all the violent language out, remove all the homophobic remarks, change all the scriptures. Well, it turned out that the person who made the proposal was Jesus. So all the reporters go over to his house. They get the microphone out there. He said, "Jesus, you made this proposal to change all the scriptures?" He said, "Yeah, absolutely." He said, "Why?" Jesus said, "Because the scriptures were made for the people. The people weren't made for the scriptures. And when the scriptures don't serve the people, they have to be changed." Well, that's what Jesus does today. He changes the scriptures. Now, he's either an egomaniac or he's the Son of God, because he changes the scriptures. He says in his Sermon on the Mount, "I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to radicalize it, to intensify the meaning of it, to put more teeth into it, to update it." So Jesus came to update the Bible. And that's why Christians didn't get rid of the Jewish Bible. You notice they just added a little at the end of the Bible, right? How respectful that is of the Jewish Bible, just to say, okay, this is our Bible, just a little update at the end. So the Christians took God's instructions to the Jews as very important, and they updated it, just the way you get updates on your cell phone or your computer. Our laws all need updating. We just witnessed how New York State updated its farm workers' rights laws. In 2011, New York State updated its marriage laws with the Marriage Equality Act. And today, I hope we can applaud for this, because we're trying to update our immigration laws and our refugee policies. We're also trying to update our healthcare laws so that everybody can be covered. So these updates are pleasing to God, because Jesus said, "I have come not to abolish the law, but to update it, to fulfill it." As we make these updates, we integrate the past with the present and the future. A couple of years ago, our staff went down to Washington, D.C. to visit the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And I know some of you have been there to that. Well, you go in a glass elevator and it takes you down 6 stories, descending through 6 centuries of history. And you get to the very bottom floor, and it's filled with the transatlantic slave ships, the chains, the whips. You see the horrors of plantation slavery. And then you gradually work your way up. It takes about 2 hours. You work your way through the Civil War, the Jim Crow, segregation, civil rights, Black Lives Matter. And then you get to the top, and you realize that the past is not behind us. It's beneath us. White racism is beneath us, and it's still with us, and we have to deal with it. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, asks us to build the new ethic on top of the old ethic. He begins by saying, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not kill." Okay, that's the old ethic. It's a good ethic. Thou shalt not kill. Now's the update. "But I say to you, don't even be angry with your brother or sister. Don't insult them and don't humiliate them." That's the new ethic, the upgrade. Upgrade. Do you remember that story about the truck driver who comes into the truck stop, sits down at the counter, orders a cup of coffee, a hamburger? Pretty soon, 3 bikers come in, they sit at the counter with him, and for some reason they start insulting the driver. They start saying mean things about him. He kind of ignores it. Then one guy comes over and spills the truck driver's coffee. Another pours sugar on his head. The driver doesn't react, just pays the bill and leaves. So the biker said to the waitress, "Huh, this guy sure doesn't know how to have any fun, does he?" And the waitress looks out the window and says, "No, and apparently he doesn't know how to drive either, because he just ran over 3 motorcycles." Okay, let's ask ourselves, why are we laughing? Okay, because the desire for revenge is not behind us. It's beneath us. It's always ready to come out, whether we're in traffic or with our family. You did this to me, I'm going to do that to you. It's right below level. Now, nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to commit murder today. But the act of murder starts with the small things. Untreated anger, verbal attacks, hatred, contempt, bullying, insulting remarks, humiliations, gossip. You know, Jesus said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's kind of a scary concept. Whenever I'm saying negative things about people, I stop and say, wait a minute. The mouth is speaking what the heart is full of. There's a lot of negative stuff there. And I got to change my heart so that my mouth will reflect it. So anger that stops us from speaking to our neighbor, and a lot of people have done this, to just stop talking to somebody, that's the seed of domestic violence. That's the seed of school shootings and even genocide. You stop talking to somebody, you cut off that relationship, you're angry, you seethe, you nurse that anger. That's the beginning of bad things. Remember 3 years ago, a man shot a congressman, Congressman Scalise, as he and others were playing baseball in New York City. The shooter was a man whose life was falling apart. He was a heavy drinker, very angry with himself because his life was going nowhere. And so he externalizes his anger, and he says it's all the Republicans' fault. And he broods and seethes and dwells on his anger, and he buys a semi-automatic rifle and sprays his anger on the ballpark. We see this a lot with school shooters. They feel hurt and angry. They're hurt by their teachers, their students, their parents, and so they plan attacks. They're going to get back. We can see why anger is called one of the deadly sins. So Jesus is saying, deal with your anger and don't act on it destructively. Gandhi said, anger is natural. Yes, it is. We all get angry. That's okay. Several times a day, we all get angry. It's okay. And some things we should get angry about, injustice. He says, anger is natural. Violence is not natural. Violence happens when we fail to deal with the anger correctly. He said, anger is like electricity. It has good uses and bad uses, depending on what we do with it. So watch your anger. We met John Hemmers in Groveland Prison years ago. Many of you know John. His father was in jail when he was growing up in New York City. His mother was a drug addict. He raised himself in Manhattan starting at age 13. He started stealing, doing drugs, going to jail. He was on a downward cycle. While he was in jail at Groveland, his son died. Oh, was he angry? He was so angry. And our group got him to talk about that. And of course, what's behind anger is hurt. He was so hurt. Anybody who loses a child, right? But he's in jail. He can't be with the family. And so our group got him to talk about his anger and his hurt. In the safety of that group, he was able to express it. And after he got out, after our program, he married a woman in the parish. He started an anger management group. He was on WCMF as a consultant. And he sent many men to Nielsen House. He used his anger constructively. Back to the Sermon on the Mount. Here's the next thing Jesus says. If you bring your gift to the altar and then recall that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Get reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come back to church. So this is pretty similar to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement for the Jews. The Jewish tradition is to go to that person once a year and say, I'm sorry for how I've hurt you. Or even harder, apologize for what we didn't do. I didn't visit you in the hospital, and I'm sorry. I didn't support you the way you needed me to. I'm sorry. When you asked me to help, I was too busy. I'm sorry. That's the type of reconciliation that Jesus is talking about. Before we go to church, straighten out your relationship with your neighbor, your relative, person in the family that you're not talking to, whatever. Get reconciled, then come back. In other words, let your prayer allow you to see your neighbor differently, to see them as a brother or sister. Let your prayer allow you to see them as a brother or sister. I grew up with seven boys, one girl and seven boys. When we got into arguments, when the boys got into arguments, my mother would always intervene, and she'd always say, "You boys work this out, and remember you are brothers. Remember you are brothers." Next in the sermon, Jesus says, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery." That's the old ethic, and that's a good one. "But I say to you," and here's the update, "don't even look at a person with lust." That's the new ethic. "Don't look at people as sex objects or simply instruments for gratification." What is lust? Lust is about getting, whereas love is about giving. Lust is getting, love is giving. We often treat the earth like an object, too. We treat nature like a master treats a slave, as though the earth were separate from us. We can dominate it, abuse it any way we want. We need to see the earth as sacred, as our holy mother, and we're part of it. And the same for people. The body is sacred. The body is a place of holiness. The body needs respect. And if God became human, then the human person is where we need to find God. Sexuality is a sacred energy that God gives us to overcome our incompleteness and to move us toward what is beyond us. So let us not trivialize our sexuality. So in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is updating our moral code. And here's what he says. "Unless your behavior exceeds that of the religious leaders, you'll never get to the reign of God. You'll never get to the dream that God has for this world if you just do what the religious leaders are telling you. You're not going to change the world by tit for tat. You hit me, I hit you back. It's not going to change the world. If we keep spewing our anger at everybody, it's not going to change the world. If we just do the minimum and don't commit adultery and don't commit murder, that's not going to change the world. Jesus gives us a path to change the world. He gives us something radical, something extreme. Go the extra mile. Give our suffering world what it really needs. Extraordinary love." That's the update. Extraordinary love. When your cell phone or your computer gives you an update, it asks a question. Install now or install later? We need to tell God, install now.